Back when I was a youngin', we didn't have fancy podcasts and blogs and YouTubes on which to spout our uninformed opinions and made-up stories. We had to scratch them on trees and rocks in hopes that some unsuspecting passerby would take notice. Even then, they probably wouldn't believe it. You should do the same.
Hey, y'all. What do you know good? No, really, we want to hear it. Y'all got to engage. Otherwise, I feel like I'm just here talking to myself. And cowboy. But seriously, we want y'all to write to us or leave pithy comments on our sites or draw us some fan art or something. Heck, I don't even care if it's mean. Just send us a correspondence at redmulletmovie@andrewchandler.net or our Facebook fan page or Instagram or on the andrewchandler.net website. Lots of web presence to choose from. Get on it. Man, I don't know about y'all, but it's been hot as all get out here this summer. And I tell you what, some days the humidity is so thick you can cut it with a putty knife. Even at night, too. Makes it a misery to patrol sometimes. I got the uniform stripped down to the bare essentials, which is pretty dang basic to begin with. Even so, whenever I gets home, I gotta empty my boots of the buckets of sweat that pools in the bottom. It got so bad, the other night we went wading in the creek just to stay cool. Still, we got eat up by mosquitoes pretty bad. That is one nemesis that I can't seem to get the best of. Wicked varmints. We did some frog gigging while we was out there. Pawpaw Lonnie likes him some roasted frog legs, so we was happy to oblige. Got me to thinking about our buddy Bully Frog and how he's always good for spinning some yarn, so we thought we'd call him up and see if he'd be willing to join us on the show again. As luck would have it, he was going to be passing through on his way to a Navy reunion, and he was kind enough to sit down for a piece and bend our ears a bit. As a word of caution, he tends to talk kind of slow and droney-like, so you might not want to listen while you're driving. On the other hand, maybe you want to save it for when you have trouble falling asleep. Either way, here goes our conversation with Bully Frog of Baton Rouge. Come in, Bully. Take a seat. Make yourself comfortable. So glad you could join us.
Thank you. I don't mind if I do. Mighty nice of you boys to invite me over.
Oh, think nothing of it. The pleasure is all ours. We're honored to have such a decorated hero in our midst.
Oh, now that sort of thing, that gets you on my good side. Flattery gets you everywhere around an old-timer like me. That's all we want to hear. Like a ticker tape parade all over again.
Yeah, I heard they used to do that sort of thing. Nowadays there ain't so much pomp and circumstance, I guess.
No, not at all. These days you're lucky if anyone even notices you were gone. Maybe you get a discount at Denny's if you're lucky.
It's a shame, really. Patriotism ain't what it used to be.
You can say that again. Something changed a while back. Maybe not for the better, I don't know. But somehow we went from serving our country by signing up for the service and working hard to serving your country by buying stuff and voting for TV personalities.
Consumerism at its fullest potential. Done lulled society into a stupor.
That's what it is. You know, some salesman called me the other day wanting me to buy some new insurance or something. I said, son, what are you doing with your life? You calling folks at dinner time trying to get them to buy stuff they already got and don't want to begin with. I said, why don't you go build something or actually help somebody instead of just trying to collect money from folks? He didn't like that very much, but at least he won't be calling again.
That's a good tactic. I usually just let Lonnie cuss at him for 10 or 15 minutes until they hang up.
Well, that'd work too. I try to save my cussing for them boys that try to say they're from the IRS and I ain't paid my taxes. Them fellas get an earful of an angry sailor then.
Yeah, I bet. Them scammers really get my dander up. I don't know how they sleep at night.
I'll tell you how. They sleep on a bed in front of a TV in a country that tells them it's okay to take advantage of other people. As long as they're happy, that's all that matters.
Shameful. an entitled self-indulgent culture.
You said it. A bunch of whiny, spoiled sycophants.
Whew. Well, we could lament the state of the union all the livelong day, but let's get back to you. How you get started in the superhero biz?
Well, when I got home from my third tour of duty, I met a young lady who wanted me to stick around more often. So we got married and had us a good time for a few years, and she up and ran off with a strong man from a traveling circus. I just figured I'd go back to the Navy, but by that time, they didn't want me anymore.
Oh, that sounds like it must have been a rough time.
I was sort of heartbroken for a while. Took to drinking heavily and passing out at the bar. Finally, one day, I was stumbling through the park when I hears this cry for help coming from the duck pond. Apparently, some kid fall off the footbridge and couldn't swim, so I jump right in and pulled that whippersnapper to the shore, starting the CPR until he came around. His ma was mighty grateful. There was a write-up in a local rag, but I realized the moment I hit that water what I needed to do with my life.
Do tell.
You see, I've been a frogman in the Navy, highly trained in scuba diving and underwater tactical combat. This is before they called them SEALs, which I believe is what Splish Splash Sassafras did.
Yeah, old Fraz, he's a good buddy of mine. He told me some stories about your team-ups.
Yeah, we were very effective back in my younger days.
So to get back to that, you save a kid from drowning, then what? You hit the vigilante circuit?
Oh, I didn't have to look very hard. Trouble had a way of finding me. Any time I get near a body of water, something would go down and I'd have to intervene. Didn't matter how big or small. Ocean fronts, lake shore, wishing well. I even took down a bank robber in a town square fountain one time.
So did you adopt your bully frog persona to keep your identity safe?
I suppose it did serve that purpose, but mostly it was because I was working part-time as a school mascot. They had me dress up in this big frog costume for the football games and such. It was during homecoming, if I recall, and this lowlife showed up at halftime saying he rigged the bleachers to explode if everyone didn't empty their pockets and surrender their jewelry. As you can imagine, the crowd was panic-stricken, but they followed his demands. Looked like he might even get away with it. But I snuck around and set the sprinklers off. I distracted him long enough so I could run up and tackle him from behind and disarm the trigger. I think he called himself a halftime highwayman or something like that.
Man, I bet that's a halftime show them folks never seen the likes of before.
I reckon so. Anyway, after that, I got a job with the city sanitation department working in the sewers a lot. Paid pretty good. I guess they couldn't get nobody else to go down there.
I imagine you get used to the smell?
No, shoot, no. I'd shave all the hair off my body and start growing tomatoes in the backyard, just as I'd have enough juice to bathe in. Still got that smell in my nose sometimes. It's awful stuff.
I see. You ever run into anything strange down in them pipes?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Body parts, drugs, money, weapons, you name it. It's amazing what some folks will flush down the crapper.
Uh-huh. Anything alive?
Oh, I see what you're getting at. You want to hear about the Picayune poo town?
Well, I've always been a little curious.
Most of it's urban legend, sorry to say. Story goes the Poutants was a group of escaped cons that broke out of the state pen by way of the sewage lines. Along the way, they got mixed up in some radioactive sludge that had been dumped down there by one of the power plants nearby. The assumed result was that they mutated into some sort of hideous freaks that couldn't return to civilization on the surface. they lived down there and survived on what they could find.
But that's not true.
Oh, for the most part, no. Nobody could survive being exposed to radioactive waste. It don't work that way.
So there were no poutants?
Well, not to speak of. What I found was slightly different.
So you did find something?
I found a community of folks who was shunned by society. A lot of them was orphans, abandoned as infants because they had birth defects that left them deformed or disabled. They found acceptance and sanctuary down there. They took good care of each other. Stronger ones went up at night and searched for food on the streets. Occasionally they'd be spotted, and so the legend perpetuated itself. The authorities looked the other way so long as they never hurt anyone or stole anything valuable.
You mean the city officials knew about them and wouldn't do nothing to help?
It was different times. Civil rights and laws protecting the handicapped were still being worked out. People didn't feel obligated to serve the less fortunate like they should.
But you did.
My heart went out to them. I did what I could. Brought blankets, food, books, clothes, medicine when I could afford it.
And what became of them, the poutants?
Eventually, the city cleared them out of the sewers, said they couldn't live there anymore. Some went to special nursing facilities, others continued to live in hiding under bridges and alleyways, squatting in abandoned buildings. But without the camaraderie of the larger group, a lot of them didn't survive.
Phew. I gotta say, this episode's kind of getting me down. Maybe we ought to take a break. When we come back, hopefully we can hear some lighter stories from Bully Frog.
The Red Mullet Cast is brought to you today by Simple Delights. Need a fantastic dessert for your next party or event? Want something that looks spectacular and tastes even better? Let Simple Delights tantalize your taste buds with their specialty treats. Find them on Facebook at Simple Delights by Amanda.
All right, Bully. Why don't you tell us a little about your famous Frogman suit?
I'd be happy to. There's been several variations over the years. I don't like to count the mascot costume. I started out with a typical rubber scuba suit and mask with standard breathing apparatus. As technology improved, I changed over to a closed-circuit rebreather. Obviously, such a device is cumbersome and not much good on land. Likewise, flippers and mask and the suit itself tend to get in the way of effective dry movement. I got pretty good at removing my gear once I was out of the water, and even getting back into it by myself. Well, you know, sometimes there just ain't the time.
I know it.
When I came to that realization, I knew I had to be prepared at a moment's notice to work with what the good Lord gave me. So I took some time and packed a bag, headed over to learn from the pearl divers in the Persian Gulf.
Yeah, I heard about them guys. You pick up any new tricks?
I certainly did. It took me a while, but I got to where I could hold my breath for a good long piece. People don't realize is that a lot of it has to do with your mental state. You can build up your CO2 tolerance and practice your apnea exercises to get your lungs good and stretched out and so forth. But if your mind ain't in tune with your body, you're liable to black out or panic, and well, then it's all over.
That's very interesting. Anything else you found useful?
Well, some of the boys that hunt for pearls or sponges or sunken treasure like to use weights and such to save energy going down. When the water is real cold, they'd even grease themselves up good to conserve body heat. Then there's things like plugging your ears and nose, things that ain't always practical, but I found useful on occasion.
Greasing up, huh? I suspect that might come in handy if you're tangling with a giant squid or some such sea creature.
If you're referring to my battle with Squid Viscus, I'd be remiss if I didn't point out how he wasn't an actual squid and how most of that fight took place on land.
Oh, I know, but it's still a great story.
Well, if you heard it before.
Just bits and pieces, really. Besides, our listening audience probably hadn't.
All right, then. It was the summer of 1984. I remember it because the Olympics was in Los Angeles at the time, so the eyes of the world were looking there. A good time for a criminal mastermind to hatch a plan on the other side of the country. I was personally intrigued by the games that year because it was the first time synchronized swimming was an event. The U.S. took the gold, of course, though. We only got silver in water polo. Lost to Yugoslavia, I believe. Did pretty good in swimming, though. I seem to recall a young man by the name of Carl Lewis did exceptionally well her first time there. Anyway, I digress. Squid Viscus was actually a bank teller and yoga enthusiast by the name of Sid Vischer. From what I understand, he enjoyed his job and was well-liked by everyone. Sadly, he developed a glandular problem, and that caused him to secrete a slimy residue through his pores, and it had a negative effect on his job. Nobody wants to be handed money that's covered in mucus. He tried wearing gloves and such, but the bank eventually had to let him go. He didn't take that news very well. Subsequently, he spent several months and all of his life savings in a legal battle against the bank, battle which he lost, but destitute and overmoist, Sid turned to his friends, and not only was he a putrid mess to behold, he also became bitter and insufferable to be around. He found himself alone, and desperate, and angry, and that's a perfect recipe for a villain.
I'll say, man on the edge.
That he was. He swore revenge on a bank that fired him, but he had no resources, no accomplices, only a mucilaginous gel that covered his skin and his daily physical exercise routine. In time, Sid found that, thanks to his emaciated and lubricated state, along with his enhanced flexibility, he could squeeze through tight spaces. With some very intense practice and his familiarity with the layout of the local branches, he made a very effective cat burglar. That is, until the police figured out who was leaving slime prints at the scene. The authorities went to his house to arrest him, but wouldn't you know, he literally slipped through their fingers. They couldn't get a hold on to him. Took six officers with wet towels to hold him down, get him into a squad car. Even then, he escaped prison six times before I ran into him.
He doesn't sound like much of a threat. Slippery, but not dangerous.
Well, he wasn't at first. He's pretty harmless, but only took one time for him to turn from a slimy thief into a cold-blooded killer.
What happened?
During one of his brief stints in the slammer, Sid got into a scuffle with another inmate. I don't know who started it, but Sid sure finished it. He strangled that guy like he had tentacles or wrapped him all up. Took the guards an hour to untangle them both.
Hence the name?
Oh, I don't know. You'd think with a name like Sid, he'd probably been called Squid long before that. If not, it sure stuck after that incident. The next time he got out, he went on a spree, robbed 15 banks, killed three folks. He got caught again, but all the while, nobody ever found where he stashed the loot.
But you figured it out.
Oh, by accident. I was fishing at my favorite spot down on the lakes, and I see this feller being real sneaky-like. He doesn't see me, so he dumps a few garbage bags over the side of his boat, and they look real heavy. Once he leaves, I dive in to take a gander. I find a whole heap of them bags under the water, so I bring one up to open. And lo and behold, it's a whole mess of cash, all sealed up real good and weighed down with bricks and rocks. Didn't get a good look at the feller, but I had a pretty good idea who it was, especially since the loot was covered in slime.
So, you call the police?
Oh, I thought about it, but I figured they'd spook him away if they seized his stash. So I staked out the area, camped out until he came back to make another deposit.
How long do you have to wait?
I don't know, 6 or 7 days, but sure enough, he did return. When he did, I was ready for him. I figured I got him in the water, I could wash off that slime for long enough for me to get him restrained. While he was distracted dumping the cash, I slipped in the lake and tipped his boat over. He was caught off guard, but he recovered pretty quickly, even though he still didn't know what had happened. I dragged him under by his shoes, thinking that would take some of the fight out of him, but he saw it was me, not a gator. He got real mad, came at me. I knew I couldn't let him get close enough to get me in the stranglehold, so we went roundabout for a bit. A couple things I failed to account for, though. He had him a shiv, and he was surprisingly good swimmer. I guess he learned a few other things in prison. Plus all that goo made him fast in the water like an eel. Eventually, he started getting tired, so he swam to shore and climbed out. I wasn't about to let him get all lubricated again, so I was right on his heels. And he turned and put up a good fight. He even jabbed me under the ribs with that weapon of his there. Anyway, somehow I managed to get the better of him with a right hook to the jaw, and he went down. Some Lakers had seen us struggling and called the patrol, so a sheriff came and took him away. They put him in an airtight cell after that, as per my recommendation.
Man, exciting stuff. Hey, we know about your team-ups with Splish Splash Sassafras and Razor Bachman. Any other notable team-ups or apprentices you want to share with us?
Oh, there's been more than a few youngins who come around wanting me to mentor them. They usually don't stick around very long or can't handle the regiment. There's one kid who called himself the Muskrat Lug. Spoiled, lazy brat. Went on to become a villain, I think.
Yeah, we dealt with him.
Yep. And then there was Guppy Gal, who stuck around for a bit. I think she just wanted a reference on her resume, though. I worked with Sea Cow Girl for a while. She was a handful.
Any relation to you, CB?
You know that there isn't.
I'm just playing. Go on.
Partnered with Cloud Clearer on a couple occasions. We took down some Somalian pirates off the Cape one time.
Sounds like you done it all.
It's been a pretty eventful life, yeah.
But you're taking it easy now?
Sure, yeah. Retirements have been good for me. Still do lots of fishing. Swim whenever I can. No more hijinks for this old-timer.
Well, hey, I sure am glad that you could sit down with us to share some of your backstory. I think people will be grateful to know about your many areas of service over the years, and I know you're a real role model to lots of other supers like us.
Just doing what needed to be done.
Well, we thank you. And I want to thank all our listeners for sticking with us. I hope you'll join us next time when we interview more unsung heroes and unrepentant villains on the Red Mullet Podcast.
This has been a Monumental Flounder production, written and produced by Andrew Chandler. Red Mullet and Cowboy, created by Jay Chupe. For more Red Mullet content, including a webcomic and video clips, go to andrewchandler.net.